Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Let me repeat it. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. What a negative text this is. And what a terrible experience is to us be labeled with the words not saved. Time is fast running out, and we hear the trumpets blow, not saved. Salvation within is not known, not saved. Although salvation is within our reach, not saved. Although salvation can be seized by all who want to seize it, not saved. Although Christ is ready to save me, not saved, although Christ is within my reach. Not saved, although salvation has been provided at a tremendous price. Who paid that colossal price? The Lord Jesus Christ. What price did he pay for the doing of this? He had to forsake all and give all and become bankrupt him himself, that we might have the jewelry of peace in our heart. He shared the throne of the Godhead, but he left that throne from the Father and the Holy Spirit to seek out sinners and to bring them to peace with God and life everlasting. Oh, the love that drove salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. He had to leave his heavenly throne. He must leave it if we're going to be saved from hell. He leaves not heaven in any way that we can imagine, for we have never been there, but he was always there. What a sacrifice it must have been for him to say goodbye to his Father and goodbye to the Holy Spirit. Goodbye to the glories of the Father's house, to come and take unto himself a human body and become the carrier of the sins of man. He had to sacrifice God's throne if he would come back to occupy it with ransomed, redeemed sinners. He must forsake the glory of God's riches if we are going to possess those very riches which will bring us to heaven. He must forsake the heaven of heavens, yes, or else we will be damned in the hell of hell. Most of all, he must cast his riches away. For if he does not do that, there will be no heaven for you and for me. It is through his poverty we have become rich. Must he take my guilty place as a sinner? Yes, he must. Must he taste eternal hell for the sinner? Yes, he must. May he drink of eternal damnation? Yes, he must. We are going to know eternal salvations. How great was Christ's sacrifice that we might escape the hell of hells. Oh, let us remember the price which he must pay by his precious blood for our salvation. What a payment Christ had to make in order to save me from the everlasting, eternal woes of the darkest and deepest and immeasurable deeps of eternal damnation. Go you to the root manger at Bethlehem, and as you gaze on the infant form and think of the guiding star, the angel's message, the angel's song, and the worshipful men from the east and theirs signal honors for the newborn babe. Those ensigns of loyalty are right. Will, I believe, sober your interpretation of them, and will tell you that you are in the presence of the most august deity that ever was mysteriously enshrined in the sleeping babe. Mark that Christ's growth went on to manhood. Observe him in all the varied phases of his earthly career. Minutely watch him as he starts from his homestead in Nazareth, the laughing, beautiful, good-looking boy of 12 summers, to visit Jerusalem, the city of the synagogue, and the city of Jewish rural retreats. Nazareth's rocky fastnesses and shady glens, and anon the humble workshop of Joseph in his village home, in silence and solitude, preparing for his life work. Gaze on Christ as he plunges into the Jordan waters to receive the baptism of John, while overhead the veil of blue is parted and the dove-like spirit descends and rests upon him. And the voice of recognition, approval, and affection from the jasper throne rings its music and message upon the vast Hebrew assembly. View him amidst the desert gloom and loneliness, the victim of satanic, subtle insinuation and vicious temptation, with wild beasts on one hand and an untamed, immodest devil on the other, and with the hunger of 40 days fast biting him and the arrows of the demon sending their arrows into his heart. Follow him in the travails of mercy to all his errands of good, in all his miracles of love, in all his sayings of truth. Help me to understand them. Help me to take them in. Track him on his walks from Jordan to Golgotha, in his sorrows, his sighs, his sufferings, his tears, his anguish, his reproach, and his possession. Yes, look at him in his homelessness, having nowhere to lay his head. Think of his poverty, without a penny to pay tribute until the fish became his banker and lent it to him. Think of his words being perverted, his motives being misconstructed, his actions be misrepresented, his miracles attributed to confederacy, and his chosen friends deserting him in his trial hour, and a Judas sells him, and a Peter with oaths and curses denies him, and a Thomas doubting him, and at the end everyone left him to loneliness, to sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Help me to understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Listen to those deep drawn sighs, whose bitter groans stir the hush of the moonlight Gethsemane, and lull to sleep the cold-souled disciple watchers. Catch the lull to sleep of those cold-souled men. Catch but the lull to sleep the cold-souled disciple watchers. Listen to the broken accents of the spirit-crushed wrestler. Listen to the intensity of the agony of the blood sweat gush from his pores, the agony of the sod that was crimson with his precious blood. O my Father, he cries, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Go to Calvary. See his limbs transfixed, with body mangled, his temples bleed, his side weeps. Go to Calvary. See him transfixed, crucified on a cross. The blood flows down. Hear him as he cries, my God, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father sees his distress, but he appears to turn away his eye. He hears his appeal, but he seems to shut his ear to attention. See, he weeps, and his tears shut out the sun. He groans, and the rocky ribs of nature's gulp Gotha Hill is broken. He breathes his last, and angels hear it, and rush upon heaven's loftiest hills, and stand on tiptoe to witness the expiring moments of the incarnate God. This is the price of our salvation. Oh, come, sinner, come, accept the proffered grace, for death will soon be calling you into its cold embrace. The harvest will be over, the summer will be past. Your cry might well be, my soul in hell is lost at last. I say to you today, be wise, for it is madness for you to damn yourself in your own madness. The consequences are too vast, too sacred, too valuable, too enduring to utter. For God's sake, delay not. If you value your life, if you respect your immortality, your brightness, your beauty, and your bliss, then trifle not with salvation. Live not without forgiveness. Wait not for a more convenient season. It has swung into the dark and woeful abysses, multitudes, your souls. Be careful lest it allure you far, too far out, where the fatal rope cannot reach, where the fatal swing is beyond your reach, and where your often lit fastens down upon your broken body. The bitterest choking inhale cry out with an outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and dashing of teeth. Oh, don't join the lost souls in hell. It's not too late. You're still in time. Christ can save you now. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? My load was laid on thee. Because of that, you can take away the burden and bring me to eternal light, just as I am, and weary not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee. Come, O Lamb of God, I come. Bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Lord, save me, or I perish, and he will save you now. Amen and amen.